we ken this be a battle o' wits and skullduggery, but it's a battle all the same, and a bloody one."
Lord Voraz turned to Johnny. "Why do you regard us in so hostile a fashion, Sir Lord Johnny? I assure you we have only the friendliest feelings for you personally. We admire you greatly. You must believe that."
He seemed, and probably was, sincere.
"But banking is banking," said Johnny, "and business is business. Is that it?"
"Of course," said Lord Voraz. "However, personal regard sometimes enters in, and in your case it most certainly does. I tried several times in the last few days to find you. It is unfortunate that we could not have had our talk before this meeting here. We are actually your personal friends."
"In what way?" asked Johnny coolly. A grizzly bear or an elephant would have backed off when Johnny sounded like that, but not Lord Voraz.
"Do you realize that when a planet is sold, all its people and all its technology are sold with it? Didn't you read the brochure? You and your immediate associates are exempted in the sale, and so is anything you may have developed."
"How generous," said Johnny with cold sarcasm.
"Since we had no chance to talk and the others seem to be late," said Lord Voraz, "I can tell you now. We have worked out an offer. We will create a technical department in the Galactic Bank and make you the head of it. We will build a fine factory in Snouch, that's the capital of the system, you know, provide you with everything you need, and give you a lifetime contract. If the figure I already offered seems too low, we can negotiate it. You would not lack for money."
"And money is everything," said Johnny, bitingly. Both bankers were shocked at his tone.
"But it is," cried Lord Voraz. "Everything has a price. Anything can be bought."
"Things like decency and loyalty can't be," said Johnny.
"Young man," said Lord Voraz, sternly, "you are very talented and have many other fine qualities, I am sure. But there have been some radical omissions in your upbringing."
"I would not talk to him like that," warned Sir Robert.
"Oh, I'm sorry," said Lord Voraz. "Forgive me. In my effort to help, I permitted myself to be carried away."
"That's better," growled Sir Robert, and loosened his grip on his claymore.
"You see," said Lord Voraz, "a scientist is supposed to be hired by a company. What he develops belongs to the company. It's quite disastrous for a scientist to try to go it alone and manage his own developments and affairs. All companies and all banks and certainly all governments agree on this totally. A scientist is supposed to quietly draw his salary, turn over his patents to the company, and go on working. It's all been arranged that way. Why, if he tried to do anything any other way, he'd spend all his life in law courts. That is how it has been carefully arranged."
"So the shoes a cobbler makes belong to him," said Johnny, "but the developments of a scientist belong to the company or the state." "I see. Very plain." Lord Voraz overlooked the sarcasm, or didn't hear it.
"I am so glad you understand. Money is everything, and all things and talent are for sale. And that's the heart and soul of banking, the very cornerstone of business, a first principle."
"I thought making a profit was," said Johnny.
"Oh, that too," said Lord Voraz, "so long as it is an honest profit. But believe me, the heart and soul..."
"I'm so glad to know," said Johnny, "that banking and business have a heart and soul. I hadn't been able to detect one thus far." "Oh, dear," said Lord Voraz, "you are being sarcastic. Anything that destroys decent people has no heart and soul," said Johnny. "And by that I include banking, business, and government. These concerns can only exist if they are for people, if they serve the wants and needs of the ordinary being." Lord Voraz looked at him searchingly. He thought for a bit. There was something in what Sir Lord Johnny was saying. He gave it up. He was a banker.
"Indeed," said Lord Voraz, "you are a peculiar young man. Perhaps when you get old enough to understand the ways of the world..."
Sir Robert's tensing was halted by the arrival of McAdam and Baron von Roth.
"Who's a peculiar young man?"
said Baron von Roth.
Johnny? Indeed he is. Thank God. I see you two were early,
he shot at Dries and Lord Voraz.
Never saw anybody so anxious to collect their pound of flesh. Shall we begin?